Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Selected Series Podcast with our special guest, the one and only Pete from Flat Black. Welcome, man.
Yo, what's good, man? Thank you for having me.
Happy to have you, man. By the way, my name is Luis, host of Selected Series, and my other host.
Yo, what's up, guys? This is David. You know, for those that are listening and think that this is like, whoa, way too far-fetched, you can do it. You know, we're doing it. We want to inspire others to get into this. Even if it's just listening to podcasts, you have to try it. To connect with people and to bring positivity is super cool. And so if you guys want to, really get involved in this, we're going to be pushing and showing people how to do things. So if you guys want to, you know, stay tuned, and we're going to either push, you know, our setups, how we like, you know, we set up and how quick it takes or how long it takes and how we bullshit. But, you know, other than that, you know.
Yeah, enjoy the process.
Yeah.
And so, I feel like we just dove into a wave and we're kind of just getting swirled in.
Yeah.
And figuring it out day by day. So it's cool. It's fun. Gets our asses out of the house. And, you know, we have a vision for it. So I feel like our team is big and with the creativity.
And I think we're very blessed to have, like, people like Pete to, like, let us work with.
Yeah.
And give us inspiration and also open his doors for us. You know, we're in his future studio / you know, all the store, everything. It's gonna be gallery. It's gonna be freaking amazing. But I mean, I don't want to ruin it for everybody. Just let him speak on it.
That's right. We're seeing the roots, the guts of this place, and
we're all starting somewhere, right?
That's right. And we're all seeing the same kind of vision for it, and it's exciting.
Yeah, and it's all levels of speed. Like, you know, at first, when me and you were doing this and we were trying to figure out how to start it, your speed is completely different than mine. And your coast, like the way you put it on cruise control at times, because you're letting time come by and things to fall into place, was a way that I never envisioned doing things. I was always like, you know, like, just to revert back to what Pete said, like a bird box, like that movie Bird Box, where you put the, and you just dive in, bro. And so I was always like that, and I was running to problems or mistakes. And just the finesse you have to, like, see a vision and see when your pockets to take, you know, action. And that's why I decided to do this with you, because the way you get things done, and I don't know if it comes from being very patient, or what do you think?
Yeah, no, it is patience. It's also like I have a lot of creativity that's flowing, and sometimes that's what keeps me from pulling the trigger on some things, because the ideas are just there, and I can never just stick to one idea to pursue. But I think putting our creativity together, I think we're coming up with a formula to kind of keep it patient, but kind of pull the trigger on a project and just go.
And solutions, you know?
And solutions, yeah.
I think the two voices that are being like, I was talking to a buddy of mine, and I was telling him things, like, when you're having a relationship, things can't just be a one-way street. It has to be like, I listen to you, you listen to me, you direct, and I follow, and vice versa. And that's really cool, because you have your strengths and I have my strengths. And whenever somebody's up to take responsibility for something, you step up. If it's your turn, if it's mine, like, I definitely will, you know, put my abilities or skills to the test, because if nobody does it, like, if I don't do it, it's whatever it is that needs to be done, it's never going to get done. Yep. And we'll get stagnant. And these last few weeks have been just chucking away.
Move after move. And the more we network with other people, the more that's going to be happening.
Exactly.
So we're here Sunday afternoon inside of Flat Black Studios, and he just had an event today. So we're going to start with you telling us about what went down today, your event, and I want you to explain all the other events that you have tied in with Westfield.
Yeah, sure. So today, Sunday, was our family paint camp, which consists of us opening the doors to different young artists, mostly, you know, either teenagers or younger, and they are able to basically come in, utilize one of our four stations that we have set up, and they'll come in and just get their paint on. And we have a team of people here that kind of guide them through it, basically, you know. And it's just kind of giving back to the community, and in the sense where we're just trying to open up minds and plant seeds in these younger kids that are essentially going to be our future, you know.
So that's cool.
We want to get them started early.
What do you do with the artwork after?
They basically take it home. They're able to purchase. So when they pay, it's, you know, it's $5, and with that you get all the supplies that you need, and then you'll get like a canvas, which you're able to paint on and then take it home. Basically,
I saw they were painting on a wall. What do you guys do with that after?
Yeah, so the stand-up wall is it's just one of the stations where, you know, they're able to kind of get the feeling of being in front of a wall and, you know, kind of just painting.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so we have someone that stands there, one of our boys, my boy Apes. He'll stand there and he'll kind of guide them as well through that process. Yeah, yeah, and he'll just kind of teach you how to spray or kind of give you, you know, a little bit of an idea of how the caps work and, you know, whether you should be or how far you should be to the wall while you're spraying, stuff like that.
Cool. Tell me about that big ass spray can outside of Stuffed Pizza. How'd that come about?
So that spray can was built by my boy Aaron Hansen for our street event this last year in 2018. So yeah, that was placed upstairs in the parking lot where we host the street event, and the mall Westfield basically said, you know, we want to incorporate this into the inside of the mall, and they grabbed it and put it inside the mall.
That's a big ass spray can.
Yeah, it's different for sure, man. It's every time I walk by there, I'm just, you know, I'm in disbelief. I can't even believe that they would even want to do that first, and or that they would even believe in us enough to do that. And just the fact that it's there. I've never seen nothing like it, man. It's crazy.
Do you have any, how can I say it? Because I see that there's writing on the side of the can. Do you have do you plug your Instagram on there, any social media on there?
I don't even know what the writing is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could see like a hashtag there or something.
Oh, that might be connected to Aaron himself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Maybe Aaron and then our shop, I would imagine.
No, what I'm saying is I can see you doing like a little hashtag on it.
Oh, no. Aaron has a plaque that's on the wall right next to it that basically tells you what he used to make it. It kind of gives you a little bio. So Aaron Hansen basically gets the credit that he deserves. Obviously, he's the one that built it. And it's all against the wall. And
he should have a hashtag on it that says, or some kind of instruction to have people take a picture in front of it and tag that hashtag.
A certain hashtag.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad idea.
Get people to take pictures with it, yeah, you know what I mean? Because it's huge.
Right on.
Big-ass spray can.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think you posted on social media that more recognition.
Yeah,
people come to the mall just to take a picture with that.
I've gotten quite a few people that just tag us in general, like the shop. Or they'll go look at Aaron's plaque and then they'll just tag him because his Instagram is on there. But yeah, I think that would be cool to have something
for that. Come take a picture with the spray can for a chance to win a bundle pack of cans and markers or something like that. You know what I mean? And that gets the can all over social media.
Yeah,
I dig it. I like how you think, man.
Dude, I walked into the paint camp today and my ideas have just been flowing. You're around all this creativity. That's what you think about.
It serves its purpose.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. I just started using hashtags.
Oh,
I just you know, I was...
It's 2019, 4 years late.
I was 18 months sober off of any social media. Oh, and shit. So going back into it,
wow.
I was looking at it with a different perspective. Instead of hating on social media because of how people act, and sometimes they're super superficial, and you can tell, like, what their whole objective is. So that I was like, you know, 18 months... I don't know what happened, but I just got it back. You know, I was talking to my wife, and she's like, "Well, dude, every time I try to tell you something, you don't know what I'm talking about."
Yeah.
And so I was like, "Wait, what does that even mean?" So the only thing I use is that Instagram, and so now I'm way more in touch with everybody that has the same visions as I do. And so I don't know.
Yeah, Instagram for us, in particular for the shop, has been a big asset. You know, I mean, we've utilized Instagram to, I mean, maybe not its highest potential, but it's definitely brought us a lot of, you know, attention as far as like people outside of the desert. You know, that's basically how the people outside of the desert connect to us.
Okay, so you're my brother, so I know your upbringing. Obviously, I lived through it firsthand. But tell the listener where you grew up. Where are you from?
So I was born and raised in Los Angeles, California, until the age of 26. That's when I moved here to the desert. Cool. But I was out there pretty much, you know, all my teenage years. That's where I lived and experienced most of everything.
Yeah, you grew up in the 90s. So tell me, what influenced you into the graph scene?
The graffiti scene for me, I started seeing graffiti in the 80s when I was young, but then obviously when I was able to actually go out and do it, it mostly got brought on by just people around me that I saw doing it around my neighborhood.
What part of LA were you living at during this?
You know, I don't even think I was in LA. I was in Carson in the Harvard area.
Okay.
When I first got introduced to graffiti, and a bunch of homies. And actually, I went to school in Westchester. I'm sorry. Westchester, which is kind of out by LAX. And because I couldn't go to any schools around my area because I had got kicked out of all of them. But I went to school out there. And, that's where I started meeting fools, and they, you know, they had streaks and shit and markers, and I've always known about graffiti, but I was mostly into, like, the gang culture and shit, so when I seen this, I thought it was kind of dope, you know, so they handed me a streak, and I caught my first tag, and I was, like, fucking hooked, like, it was on the RTD bus, I remember, and, man, I was hooked.
What does streak mean for those, like, you know, those?
Oh, for sure. It's a solid paint marker. A streak is basically, yeah, like a solid paint marker that goes on any surface. It's almost like think of it like a crayon, but a solid paint, right? So gotcha. It marks on all surfaces. Yeah, and that was basically my first tool. A Sakura mean streak, or I'm sorry, Sakura solid marker.
So you weren't even using like a spray can right off the bat?
I had to use a spray can, but I wasn't writing, I guess I was writing graffiti, but I was writing a gang.
Okay.
It wasn't like a crew or nothing.
Right.
You know, or maybe like doing some dumb shit, like writing fuck you or fuck the cops or some stupid ass shit.
A lot of the gang graffiti that I see around here is all just, you know, there's no art behind it really. Not much color. It's just kind of writing on the wall.
Is that to mark territory?
Yeah, I don't even... Well, okay, so I've met a lot of homies that have dope skills, you know, even homies that are from a hood that were probably even ex-writers at one point that put a lot of effort into their gang graffiti even.
Okay.
When they're putting on the set, you know, when you're putting up the set. But, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be about, it's not necessarily about style or how dope it looks. I mean, you're basically marking your territory. In a sense. And that's really what it comes down to. But then if you want to get crafty or cool with it, you know, you can start doing dope shit and big letters, block letters and shit like that. You know?
One of my favorite gangster movies is 187.
Yeah.
You guys seen that?
Oh, yeah.
And one of my favorite scenes is when he's catching a spot and they, like, three of them roll up, mm-hmm. and they're like, you know, what are you doing? You're riding over my shit. And then he gets all scared, and he tries to run off. Mm-hmm. They shoot him in the leg.
Yeah. Yep, I remember.
So that was a day in the life?
Was a fucking movie, but it's very similar.
Would you be nervous about, like, were you ever riding alone?
Yeah.
And were you nervous about? All the time.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
People rolling up?
Oh, fuck yeah. In L.A., fuck yes, dude. Like, in L.A., when in the 90s, it was like a gang graffiti. We were tag bangers is what we called it, or whatever. The media might have started that. But we weren't. To me, especially, I was mostly about just getting down with fools, starting problems, doing stupid shit. I didn't really take graffiti itself serious until later because, you know, I was just tired of fucking always watching my back and shit. So, but, yeah, the gang culture mixed in with graffiti was a big deal. That's how we got down in the 90s. As far as where I'm from, I don't know about anywhere else, but definitely where I was from, all the people around me were banging their crews, you know. And then I was still from a neighborhood, you know, so I was banging that too. I was just banging.
I was fortunate to talk to you previously about growing up, and you were talking about going back home as if you consider L.A. still your home. Is that true?
Yeah. I was born and raised there. That's where I learned everything. I will say that I learned a lot. I learned a lot here in the desert because it kind of shaped me here. But, I mean, L.A. is, yeah, definitely, man, that's my home. That's forever. And I go out there whenever I can, you know, but not as much as I want to lately just because I've been hella busy. But that's forever, man. That's where I'm from, you know.
What city? Or what county? Just L.A. County?
Oh, it's L.A.
All
county,
of LA?
Bro. Mostly, like, on the west side of L.A., man, is where I really, it was my stomping ground, basically.
You mentioned you went to Westchester High, and that's a high school known for a lot of famous basketball players. That's how I know it. A lot of famous basketball players came out of that.
I was selling weed to those guys.
Yeah. was there that day. Kind of movement when you were at that high school too? Like, were you guys always been known, the Westchester Comets so always good. Been known for?
I didn't even know they were Comets. Fuck.
That's how
honestly,
much you
dude,
paid attention
I don't, yeah,
to school.
I don't. I didn't.
The Westchester Comets.
I didn't know nothing about sports, bro.
Yeah, that
was just
always
there. I was just there running amok, you know, selling drugs and shit. Fucking.
Yeah, we were moving in and out of like Carson area, Westchester, Hawthorne, Gardena.
Yeah. Yeah, so I went there to Westchester, and then I went to Gardena, got kicked out. I went back to Westchester, got kicked out of Westchester. I went to Locke for like a day in South Central. That didn't work out. I went to...
One day. Damn, what'd you
yeah,
do?
Fighting off the bat, homie. As soon as I stepped foot in that bitch, right outside of registration, where you register, I was fucking already scrapping.
Is that because somebody looked at you funny or something?
It was just, yeah. That's it. It was just like, that's it. Yeah, really, that's what it comes down to, man.
When you guys moved around, is that because of, like, your guys' parents' work or just because you guys were looking for a different neighborhood?
So early in the years, my parents, man, let me try to remember, man, because I can't even remember before. Oh, we lived, you know, in Lenox for a lot of years, right, in that area, Lenox, Inglewood. And then we went to Carson, and that's when I was already a teenager. So I spent a lot of my time there. But
yeah, a lot
I
of my childhood was Carson.
Yeah.
After that, we didn't move that much.
But we
were going to, like, he was going to high school now. I was
I would
going
have to go
elementary.
To different high schools because yeah. I got kicked out of my local high schools, and I couldn't go there. So what my mom did was she had friends that lived in different areas, so she had to use their address. But then I kept getting kicked out of those. At one point, I got kicked out of the whole LA Unified School District. So we were just kind of like, fuck, what are we going to do, you know?
And our parents, they didn't work in the city that we were living in. Never. They worked farther, right? Yeah. So between where my parents worked and between where our parents had friends was kind of based off of where he would go to school. I went to school by where my parents worked. Damn. It wasn't close to where we lived.
Yeah.
So I wasn't going to the same school as my neighbors. I was going to schools with kids from
farther. All right, guys, I'll see you later. Not even going to the same school.
Right. Nope. Yeah. Maybe or I'd get home. Meet
up. Yeah. After
yeah. I get home after school and we would hang out, but we weren't going to the same school. So
that's kind of cool because you have friends
everywhere. That's how I met a bunch of fools, you know, and I was getting around. So being a graffiti writer fucking really worked out for me because I was everywhere. Yeah. And then that's how I ended up in Hawthorne High, too. Was the same way. My parents, well, once I got kicked out of the LA Unified School District, I couldn't even go to school anywhere in that district, so I had to go to Hawthorne. That was the closest place that my mom could find someone that lived by.
Is that like a white school? Because it sounds...
Fuck no.
No, Hawthorne? Like a
maybe at one point. I think the Beatles, or no, the Beach Boys went there.
See, it's like a Disney movie type of name.
Well, Compton, you know? Compton was all suburban white neighborhood. Yeah. It all started off as a white suburban neighborhood that eventually just... It got taken over. It got low-income housing, all that. Programs like that brought in a different class of folks. So,
yeah. Nah, it was Hawthorne was cool, man. Hawthorne, it was crazy. It was mostly Mexicans and blacks. I don't remember. Oh, and Tongans. I don't remember.
What's that?
Tongans? Tongans are like Samoans, like kind of like islanders. Hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what we saw most of. And that's how I ended up in Hawthorne High. And then that's where I was supposed to have graduated from, but I didn't graduate.
So after all that craziness, you didn't finish?
Nah, dude. Nope. I ended up getting a girl pregnant, and she dropped out.
What a story, man.
Oh, dude, I hear this shit all the time. I'm sure this happens all the time, man. But, yeah, I dropped out. Shit, man, like probably like 3 weeks before I wasn't going to graduate anyways, cause I was just I didn't even want to graduate. I didn't care, you know? I just wanted to hustle forever. I didn't really care for school, but once she got pregnant, she dropped out and then I just started working. I said, all right, you know what? I'm going to do the right thing, get a job, do a 9-to-5 type of thing. And I was a grown ass man by the time I was 18, dude. By the time I was 19, 20, I was already almost on my second kid.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So I had to grow up real, real fast, you know? And, yeah, I was just hustling, man, trying to get by and then trying to do the 9-to-5 thing.
Shout out my nieces and nephew, man. Stay in school.
Yep. Straight up.
They're good kids.
Well, man. Shit, one of them already graduated.
Yeah. Yeah, so someone's already on the right path. She's already on the right path, so.
Yeah, shit. Yep.
But they have a good role model. They have a great role model.
You know what? I'm blessed, man. Yeah, you're right. I'm blessed that it's like that. Because at one point, I didn't know that it was going to be like that.
Like, we all love a success story. But you got to love a story where a person hits rock bottom and gets their shit together again.
And
comes back from that.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man.
Have you guys seen the movie Mid-90s?
Yeah, with the skater homie.
Yeah, you seen it?
Yeah,
Directed by Jonah Hill.
Yeah. No, I wish I saw it, but I never got to.
It's an indie film. Check it out. You can still watch it. It's pretty good. And there's a scene where his name is Stevie. He walks into his brother's room. Remember that scene?
Yeah.
He walks into his brother's room, dude. That's like my that scene like kind of summed up my childhood because.
Wait, can you elaborate on that?
I'll elaborate on the scene. Yeah, so Stevie. His brother's walking out the door and he's like, don't go in my room. He leaves and then he leaves. First thing he does, Stevie runs to the room and he walks in and then he's kind of just like looking around and the camera pans out into the room and the music, the hip hop music just starts playing and his brother has like hip hop posters on the wall, CDs, tapes. He's got like weights. And he's got all this fresh gear in the closet, Jordans, all this stuff. And I watched that scene, and it kind of just took me back into the same thing. When he wouldn't be home, I'd go into his room.
Oh, what?
And I'd like go open the CDs up, read the little books, play them, go in his closet and like look at all the clothes, the fresh gear, like the Tommy, the Polo, and the Jordans. And he would have like just cool shit, like what I thought was cool, right? Posters. He'd have like glow in the dark posters and shit, and like all this cool stuff. And like as a kid, as a younger brother, you like, I don't know, you kind of just bask in that, and you're like, man, this shit is cool, kind of thing. And so you gotta check that scene out.
That's awesome.
It's pretty vivid, yeah. Like the way they summed it up.
Is it in a is a scene like in a very like the neighborhoods you picture?
They're in L.A.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so
the movie's based out of L.A.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this little kid, he's a skater.
It's like that's those summer nights with the window down, or with the window up, and the dude's running off to get into a car or, like, do something, and you're, like, sneaking into his room.
You can tell he does that all the time, because as soon as his brother left, he ran in there. And I think he even, like, puts on, like, one of his brother's, like, basketball jerseys. And he's got the big headphones on, and he's listening to music, just vibing out in his brother's room. Like, because it's cooler than his room, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that sounds cool. My cousin used to be like that. He used to have, shout out to Rudy, Bulls gear. He was a big Michael Jordan fan. One time I spilled a fruit punch on his brand new, like, that red and black jersey that they had.
Okay.
He tore a new one into me. Because he told me, don't go into my room. He used to have, like, the Sega Genesis and the Nintendo. And he had every console.
The cool shit.
Yeah.
And magazines. And he had
Wu-Tang posters on the wall. And
that's legit. Yeah. Check out that movie when you get a chance.
What's it called again?
Mid-90s.
Jonah Hill directed that?
Yeah.
Sweet.
He's from our time, so a lot of the stuff that he's making, I feel like our age group, not even just specifically our age group, but we can relate to a lot of the things that he brings up.
But he's very, like he's played a serious role. He's played, you know, that baseball.
The funny fat kid.
Yeah. He's a pretty good actor, man.
He was in, what's that, Wolf of Wall Street,
too. There you go. That's the one I was trying to reference back.
So, Pete, tell us... Who's your influence in the graph world, like either now or when you were growing up? Who was one of your favorites?
Like as far as influences, I'd say probably from my younger years, there was a couple cats that kind of showed me the way in a sense. There was this cat, writes Dez 49. Design 49 from FUS. He kind of like, you know, kind of put me on, showed me the ropes, you know, like he would be like, you know, he would tell me like, yo, come over here, you know, and I would walk with him, and then he'd just be catching tags. He'd tell me to watch his back, and then he'd be like, all right, go. And then he'd like watch my back. And this is all in the early days, so that was like pretty fucking dope to me, you know. I was super influenced by that. And then the dude was just a savage, you know, like I would see him, we'd be in a car, you know, with some of the other homies, and I would see him, like, writing down spots. Like, he would write down intersections of spots that he wanted to come back to. And I was just kind of, like, just kept that in my head. Like, fuck, this fool's really going to come back and hit those spots. Like, that's, like, a commitment, you know?
Yeah.
And so he's definitely one of those dudes. A lot of the dudes from my old crew out in the Wilmington area, the Harbor area, from TSA, those dudes kind of, like, are really... showed me the ropes as well, and like showed me what time it was.
Do you still keep in contact with any of them?
Nobody, bro. Nah, I don't know.
What do you think they're up to nowadays?
Probably in jail.
Yeah.
Dead or something. Yeah.
You didn't really see any future in. I mean, because
thought the same about me, and you know, here I am. Right. So I don't know. Maybe they're fucking doing something cool. I don't know. It's been so long. I lost touch with those cats because after a while, like, because I was going to different high schools and shit, like, I started linking up with other cats and then, like, kicking it with fools that I saw on the daily. And then, you know, at one point I started my own crew and then just kind of did my own thing, and then that was it. And then they kind of did their thing, went to jail, you know.
No, there's no bad blood when you go. No.
If I even remember them when I see them, if I could even recognize them, definitely not. Cool. Not at all. No, yeah.
Cool.
No, for sure.
So, do you feel like that's where most of your creativity came from, writing on the wall?
Not necessarily, man, because I wasn't writing to be creative, you know? Like, I was writing to just put my name on shit.
Okay.
That whole thing probably, if anything, kind of sparked, kind of sparked the thing inside of me where it was like, it drove me to be more committed about stuff. Like, I found a passion and I ran with it and I did it and I did it and I did it and I did it. And I was like, oh shit, this is fucking, you know what I mean? Okay. Something that I could continue doing. And that led me, like I mentioned a little bit ago, that led me to start like my own crew. And I've always been more of like a leader type. So like when I started my own crew of, you know, selected few, that is what caused me to be more on the leadership and then like be confident about myself as well. Even now, like this started from that, you know, because I used to run my crew like on some legit shit, you know, like we had meetings where it was like very, like we had to be punctual. Like I was very strict about all that shit, but it led us to be a pretty dominant crew. And then, you know, that's kind of where it started basically is what I'm saying.
So tell us about when you touched down in the desert. What year was that?
I touched down in the desert in 2006. I want to say I think it was late 2005 or 2006. Yeah, and that's pretty much how when I got here.
Tell us about creatively what's the first project you started on out here?
Well, shit, man, I was just, really, when I got here, I was just trying to get my shit together, you know. I didn't come here to do anything. I just came here to chill, you know?
Right.
And, like, really just trying to start over. So it took me a while before I did anything. But not really, you know? Like, even then, like, I wasn't here that long before I started the clothing brand. So, you know, I was writing graffiti still. I had a job, you know, and then I got popped. I got snitched on. And when that happened, then I started the clothing company, which wasn't even like that long after me getting here, probably like 2 years. It wasn't even that long.
What sparked starting a clothing brand?
Just my love for graffiti. It was a graffiti clothing brand.
Okay.
You know?
What was it called?
It was called Affiliated.
That's what's up. Yeah. Okay.
Affiliated clothing.
And was that just straight from the trunk? Because at the time, it wasn't really accessible to sell.
Yeah.
Like for just somebody starting, it wasn't accessible to sell online. So was that just right from the trunk or were you absolutely at locations?
Oh, no. It literally, so this was around the same era that the whole streetwear thing just started blowing up big. You know?
Oh, man, good times.
Yeah, like that Mark Echo.
No, way past that. I'm talking about like Diamond. I'm talking
hundreds.
About.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, hundreds.
Just trying to find a point of reference.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think Accomplice.
Yeah,
I think
all that more shit. You know, even This Is It.
Obey.
Like Obey, all that shit was like big and it was growing into like this massive market. So, I didn't really necessarily even have a website. I didn't start with a website at least. I started just out the trunk, homies, friends. Then I started promoting it. I think I started promoting it on fucking MySpace. And then yeah. I had like a badass MySpace. So some fool that I knew like knew how to do all that shit. So I had like this dope ass fucking MySpace page. And then like he hooked it all up. And then that's how I met people. And then I would ship it and they would pay me. I don't even remember how they would pay me. But I was making good money off that. It was pretty fucking legit, man. Yeah, Affiliated. That was the first thing that I did. I eventually actually started selling it at the swap meet.
Which one?
In Indio.
Okay.
That's where I started. And it, as a matter of fact, that's where I started. So I had my Affiliated booth in the front. And behind me behind that booth was another booth or like a table with graph supplies. So I was, then that was like more low key, you know, I didn't really want too many people to know that. But that, yeah, then I started doing that.
That black market.
Yeah. Yep. And
come, let me show you in the back.
Yeah. 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 And, you know, once a dude knew that I was there, like he would just come back knowing that I was already there and he would go tell all his homies and then so on and so forth. And that's how that started.
But that product you weren't able to push, like what the people at the fairgrounds at the, would they frown upon it? Like,
yeah. I mean, I wasn't.
It's not a product you could sell there, right?
I wasn't open to them about it. Okay. Basically, as far as they knew, I was just selling T-shirts, which I was, which we were still doing good off of. But, yeah, I wasn't like, hey, I'm here to sell graffiti supplies.
Did you feel like they wouldn't have accepted you selling?
It would just be stupid to even approach them like that. Like, at least back then, that was my mentality.
Why? It's because you thought
because
they wouldn't have approved of
graffiti,
it.
Graffiti, yeah. Like, you know. They would have took one look at it and been like, nah. Dude. I mean, they're already looking at me like, what? You know, this fool looks kind of suspect and shit, you know. But they let it ride or whatever. And then, yeah. And then I, you know, I did my graffiti shit in the background. So it was like, no biggie. People just went back there and bought it. Which eventually led to me getting arrested for it. Because some fucking kid snitched. And the cops were already kind of investigating me for graffiti. And they weren't able to put two and two together with my name. But they were definitely able to grab me on the graffiti supplies. So they, I don't know, whatever it was, I don't even remember the charges for that. But yeah, it was, that's what it led to, basically. That was the beginning of Flat Black.
After that, did you continue, or you were banned from selling there?
No, I went back, and I think I just stopped selling graffiti supplies, and it was just clothing. And then I probably went back maybe a couple more times. And then that's when I decided to take it a little bit more serious. You know what? I actually did. I started a website, and I did start selling online. And then I reached out to a bunch of shops, which was like kind of like where I made more money. I started with consignment, and then I was able to sell people my product in different stores, different shops, like, you know, different graph shops, skate shops, shit like that.
Can I ask you? Let me see for the people that are trying to do that kind of market, they want to get into graphic tees and just graphic design and push their product on the store. You've done this before, so what would be your advice for those that would want to do something like that?
Stand out. Stand out as much as you can because the market is flooded with T-shirts and graphic designs. And
how would you approach a person that owns a shop? Like, let's say you walk in and you have a product. How would you want somebody to approach you? I guess that's my question.
Yeah, so it's, the thing is, things were different back then. Like, and social media has changed all that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
gotcha.
Even through MySpace, I was able to do things, but not as much as, like, Instagram provides. So I personally would go into all these stores, take samples on the rack with order forms, and, like, really, you know, I presented myself like I was already owning, like, a $1 million company. And that's how it has to be. Like, I came off like I already knew what the fuck I was talking about, right? So, like...
So at this point, you're... 21,
22? Nah, I was already out here. I was like 26, 27, 28, maybe.
Okay.
No, 26, 27. Yeah, I was already out here. But yeah, it's just about going out there and really pushing yourself, man. That's it. That's all it takes. Because a lot of people don't. So people that actually push themselves have a bigger advantage and they don't even know it. There's a lot of people out here that doubt in themselves. And that leaves opportunity for people that are really with it to move forward, you know? So, like, if you just have that, people will see that. People can genuinely see your commitment and really, you know.
It's contagious, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It makes a good impression on them.
Yeah, if they believe themselves, it gets you to believe in them as well.
Absolutely.
It's very good advice right there.
Yeah,
for those
definitely.
That are on the border of making a decision, just believe in yourself. And if you believe in what you're doing, it's correct.
100%.
People will see that regardless, especially how you're saying social media just provides a platform for those that don't have your reach because they live far away. They are on your phone. They're on your lap immediately.
Man.
So it makes no sense not to be creative, not to put your content out.
Definitely.
You're going to have an audience. Everybody has an audience.
There's literally people out here that are very questionable, you know, and like weirdos that have, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers and they get paid for that. You know what I'm saying? And they go out here, they do stupid shit, you know, and it's like people make fun of them, but who's, you know what I mean? Who's really winning in that situation? For someone that's really dedicated and you actually want to push yourself, if you can't do it, then something's fucking wrong. You're in the wrong industry, especially with the advantages that we have nowadays. Like, if you don't take advantage of this shit, you're doing something wrong and you don't belong having any business.
We got the people have the platform to go out and try anything. It's big.
Yeah.
So just go out, give it a chance, and fail a couple times. Who cares? Just go out there and try. As long as you try to do it, even if you fail, try again. Do something else. It's the process and you doing it that's fun.
Yeah, I just text that today, you know. You can also look at it as if you, I reference this to basketball because Luis is a very big basketball fan. And so he's, let's say, in the gym a lot. And so if he can say, I missed a million times, but when it counted, I scored. You know, people are going to remember your victories. And if you can play it off, no one's going to remember your mistakes or your downfalls. Or, you know, because no one's there to see you struggle and succeed. They only see the fame and the lime and just the success. They don't see all the steps it took. Maybe you took a step forward and you took two steps back to take three steps forward. It's not a straight line. And so people have to have the whereabouts to move laterally, maybe an inch back to go 12 inches forward. It's very difficult when it comes to trying to find like a straight path to something. It hardly ever happens that way. And now with this whole network thing, if you don't have the ability to do it, right, you just reach out to somebody that knows, or that knows somebody or that knows somebody that knows somebody. So it's so tangible. You can hold it. You can almost smell it and taste it if you really, really want to do something.
Definitely.
Yep, go out there and learn. Mess up. Learn from it. You get to meet people. Just keep pushing. Just keep going. Pete, tell us, what's a skill you're looking to learn by the end of the year?
I just want to be a better version of myself, man.
Okay.
Basically, I'm just, you know, basically, or most definitely want to be a better business person, you know, because there's still a lot to learn. There's so much to learn. I would definitely say that more than anything. It's just being a better business person, more sharper, you know.
Cool. Are there any artists that you're hoping to work with from out here or from anywhere, really?
From back home? You ever bring anybody out here to check out your shows?
Yeah. I got homies that come out here all the time. But I can't really say one person in particular, really, man. I mean, I already work with everybody that that I think is cool, man, to be honest. Like, most of them are already from my crew, you know, in L.A. And shout out to all the homies from NBC and SPV. You know, but yeah, nice. I mean, I've been blessed because people actually reach out to us. You know, I want to make it to where when people are out here or at least passing through the Coachella Valley and you are an artist or a graffiti writer, you know, it's like, come through, man. You know what I mean? Like, we're here, you know, you guys have a spot here. You're more than welcomed. And, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're just really trying to link with everybody, man. There's really not one person. You know, it's not in my best interest to be, you know, like trying to just get one person. It's like, I want to get everybody out here, man. You know what I mean?
And have you come across, or have you worked with any artists that you've been watching grow since the beginning?
No, not really. I mean, there's a lot of artists that I look up to, or that I can say, like, damn, that was dope that they came out. But I can't really necessarily say that there's one person that I've been, like, watching forever and then they're here, you know?
Oh, okay. I just picture, like, that kid walking in to Flat Black, buying his first set of streaks or cans and telling you, oh, watch out for me. I'm going
to
be...
Oh, man, like, that happens to me all the time. I see that shit every day.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, these dudes... A lot of the dudes that come, I mean, and I could tell too, you know, like I could tell when a dude has heart, when a dude's really about this shit, you know, like as far as the whole graph culture, you know, like I could see right through these fools, you know, it's like some of these fools will come in the shop with their head, you know, or with their fucking chest pumped out, like, you know, they're trying to be hard and shit, and that's cool, whatever, you know, but the real motherfuckers are more low key, they'll come in, they'll get their shit. They'll show respect and then bounce, you know what I mean? And then I'll see him up, you know? But yeah, I could definitely tell. And it's dope to see because we're in the beginning stages of the next generation of this culture. And that doesn't even apply to graffiti in general. Like, that applies to a lot of things. It's not just graffiti. It's everything. You know, my homegirl Janet, Cepeda. She's been coming to the shop for, like, a little while, and when she first started coming around, she was just a youngster. I mean, it was just only, like, a year ago. She's already young as shit. She's young now, you know, to me at least. But when she started coming around, she was more, she wasn't as, I don't want to say experienced, but she wasn't maybe as secure in herself and her art as she is now. And I've seen the progression. So that's, like, really cool to see that and know that she's going to be, you know, fucking somebody. That's what's up. And I could see right through that, you know? Like, I see that her being somebody for sure.
So tell me how Flat Black is impacting the community with... Because it's given a splash of culture for sure. That's what I've noticed.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's become something way different. For the desert. Now I didn't invent graffiti out here. I didn't invent graffiti culture, art, street art. You know, it's just been around for a lot of years. You know, and I'm fortunate enough to be a part of a crew out here that has a big foot in the game. You know, as far as like from the beginning of graffiti and all that.
Yeah, so we're talking. Yeah, so I'm talking about Flat Black as a team.
Yeah, the Flat Black team in general. Yeah. Go ahead, ask me again. My bad.
Yeah, how are you impact? How was the Flat Black team impacting the community?
The Flat Black team in general, I would say, shit, man. I think just through actually giving people an opportunity to do shit. I think this is what the desert needed. I think people are really taking well to the fact that we're out here. Really legitimately caring, you know, because it's like we're one of them, you know, and they're one of us.
Yeah.
It's like I'm not some dude that just, you know, got fed this shop and, like, you know, didn't know nothing about what I'm preaching out here. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I've been there. I've been to jail for this shit. I've learned my lesson and here I am. And now we're trying to make something of this, you know. So I feel like that's how people have been impacted. I think they're able to see that it's not just some regular person or that it's not just someone that was, like, given this opportunity. Go ahead.
The way I see it, I think what Flat Black's done, the way I see it is it's given a splash of just flavor, color, culture, just, like, the Flat Black team has just given, like a splash of just, like, badass to the desert, to somewhere where I feel like was, when I first moved out here, I feel like it was lacking that kind of flavor. The first thing you think about is old, retired people living here, right?
Yeah.
Country clubs,
golfers, right. That's it. And I think...
Tennis, golf.
I think Flat Black team, Flat Black, and not just them, but our generation, too, is adding a nice splash of,
you know,
of
what,
dopeness
though,
out here.
I will say that I have to give it up to all the OGs out here. People that have already been doing graffiti, that been putting... art on the walls.
Open the doors.
Before me. right? Like, I didn't start that. That's kind of what I was trying to say. But, yeah, now it's kind of like on a bigger platform, you know, especially now that, you know, I do a lot of things here with, like, Westfield, for example. We're essentially giving more of a, it's more of an audience that we have to work with as opposed to just being us, you know, the graffiti writers or the artists themselves. It's everybody. Everybody can see this. Everybody's like, either you're going to be with us or you're going to be against us, you know? It's like everybody's around now
to see it. You're also giving a voice to those that are, you know, from different crews can look at you and say, oh man, like he's really opening doors for us to be safe, you know, go and buy some stuff that we need.
Yeah, and it's not even just like crews or graffiti crews, it's everybody, man. Like my doors are open to anybody that's really willing to take art serious, you know. And we kind of, I guess you could call it mostly catered to like the urban art, you know, people, like urban art supplies is what we call them. But yeah, it's anybody that just wants to, you know, do the right thing. And it's not your average, and it started as a retail store, you know, it's not your average, art supply store. You come in and it's like, cool and shit, you know, there's graffiti that you can buy stuff for canvas. You can buy stuff for the walls. You can do a mural. You know, there's so many different types of things in my shop.
Do you want to go into maybe explaining what you're going to be doing here at this new shop?
Yeah, what's next?
Okay, yeah, for sure. So for those of you that don't know, we're actually inside the new Flat Black shop, which will be open in June. By the time this comes out, it might already... Well, it probably won't even be open yet, huh?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Hopefully, that's our goal to drop sick. This soon.
In a year from now, we'll come back and...
I'm talking this interview for a year, but...
I'm saying, you know, I mean, a lot can happen.
We will come back in a year. We'll update for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So, going back to the shop itself, man, it's basically our new shop here at Westfield. Westfield offered me a shop here, not for free. I took it, you know. I felt like there was a lot that I can do here. And basically where we're at now is one of the two artist studios that will be that we will be renting for local artists to be able to come in and either do art or whatever type of art form, music, you know, podcast, whatever they want to do. And then on the other side of the building here is our retail space, which will consist of like, you know, a full gallery, a lounge area, you know, obviously a bunch of paint, and just a lot of space to kind of come in and just get real artsy with it, man.
Catch a vibe.
Yep. Straight up. And that's what it is. That this is, I'm excited for this place, man, because this is what needed to happen for me to grow, you know, and it took a lot for me. I sat long and hard and really thought about, like, man, do I want to move to Westfield, you know? And I thought to myself, fuck, am I, like, selling out, you know? And I started thinking, man, that mentality is me, you know, 15 years ago. You know, I shouldn't even, why the fuck am I thinking like that? You know what I'm saying? And I just didn't want people to be like, oh, you know, this motherfucker's going corporate and shit. And I started thinking, well, why the fuck do I even care? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, we are providing something bigger than us, man, and it's something bigger than me for sure. And I just fucking said, fuck it, let's take that chance, let's put Flat Black in a position where we can offer more of us to everybody as opposed to just, you know,
that's one, awesome. You're thinking about your customers, you're thinking
absolutely
about,
man, this is how it's affecting fucking people. Great. Yeah, this is gonna be a great store, man. And it's not just a retail store anymore. We've grown, you know, and it's more of, you know, it's like a hub for us. You know what I mean? It's us. This is us. I see a lot of people out here trying to do shit where it's like, you know, they try to, you know, do stuff for artists and stuff, but it's not even legitimate, man. Like, a lot of these dudes are just chasing money, You know, they see that there's interest in art, and that's where they're going because there's an interest in art. And so they try to do shit that's more urban, but it's like, it's, you know, whatever. I mean, it doesn't bother me because I know my core customers are here, but it's just a trip to see that, you know, and it's like, this is where you go, man. This is where I built this for all of us together.
Yeah. You're putting it's like you're putting a paintbrush in people's hands and you're like, yeah. Oh, have fun.
Everybody that comes through here built this, you know, we're all in this. This is all us.
That's what's up.
Yeah, real shit, man.
That's what's up. Yeah, I walked in here and you get the real guts view of the place. But man, I see so much potential for this place, and I'm excited for you working on it and you know, yeah, bringing you, it to life the way I know you're gonna bring it to life. So,
hell yeah,
that's what's up. We're sitting in one of the studios right now. We got no door. But we got the AC keeping us so cool, man. We got a restroom in here, so it's like you get the roots of it. Yeah, you get two restrooms. You get the root view of it. But man, this thing's got what it needs to be a legit studio, gallery, retail spot for sure.
Hell yeah.
Just add some elbow grease to it and just go to town. And
it needs two elbows.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody, whoever sets up in these studios are going to be able to add a splash of how they want it to look like, too, so that that on its own is dope.
Yeah, I'm hyped for that. I'm hyped. I'm hyped to see what happens here. You know,
what comes out of the rooms?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, because at my other shop, man, I've seen so much shit happen. You know, like, we would have, so when I first opened, I decided to do a pop-up in the side of the store. That it was basically an extra room, you know, and I said, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to utilize the space for pop-ups. And mostly everybody that has been in there, you know, went off and did something cool, you know? That's or at least, up. I mean, I would imagine learn something, like we all kind of just did it together. And yeah, it's dope. It's a dope feeling, man, to see someone like grow too, you know? It's like, it's exciting and shit. Yeah, I get excited by that, man. Like, I am by no means a fucking hater. Like, I love to see people winning and having these studios is fucking cool to me because I know that good shit is going to happen here.
It's going
to
be nothing but creativity, man. Absolutely. And the flavor just soaking through the walls in this place. It's going to be a hub for...
He also has a lot of wall space and over there in the other main room where he's going to have his retail area, there's room for artists to put a lot of good stuff up there. Big spaces for those artists that like to do big pieces.
Yeah, so when I first saw this place, one of the first things that caught my eye was the gallery space, which I was I was very adamant about having a bigger gallery space if I ever moved out of my shop on 111, because I wanted to showcase more art and have bigger art shows, because the art shows themselves is kind of what put us over, you know, and like really made a name for ourselves through that, because I think it was mostly because of the community love, you know, the people that would come, and it was real, you know, everybody there was just like real and like vibed out, you know, with each other. It was dope. Weren't uncomfortable like you would be, like, you know, on El Paseo or some like real high-end gallery, right. You know, it was basically just us having a good time.
And that spot where you're looking to set up the gallery, it kind of already looks like it's built just for that. It's got the lights hanging down. That's pretty cool. And this, what was this before?
So from what I know, this, I think the last thing that it was, I think it was being used as a security office. And then prior to that, at one point, it was a daycare. And then prior to that, I think I heard something about it being like a school or something, but...
Oh, okay.
It's been used. It's old as shit.
And then the cool thing is that it's not in the mall. It's not a store or unit in the mall. It's attached, but it's detached.
Yeah.
Right. There's no entrance. It's in the back. So there's no, you can't get into it.
Right.
From the mall or into the mall. Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Is what I wanted.
Nice.
I didn't want. I kind of wanted to be separate even then. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't want to be too in, like, I definitely didn't want to be inside the mall. That was probably why it took so long to make a decision to work with Westfield and take up their offer on renting out one of their places. And then when they offered me this, or when they showed me this space in particular, I was hooked, you know, like.
Yeah, I see that.
You know, it was.
Right away. You look in here.
Because, dude, like coming, okay, so, you know, for those that don't know, like I started in a warehouse, you know, off Cook in Palm Desert, off Cook in like 42nd. It was kind of hidden. You couldn't even get there. Like, the GPS wouldn't even tell you. Like, it was just real low-key, which is what I wanted. We were an underground culture shop, you know right. what I mean? Like, I wasn't trying to be all out here like that. So coming from that to moving to 111 and then seeing this, it's like, to me, you know, for someone that started the way that I started and with my background, it was a dream come true, man. I looked at this place and I was inspired right off the bat, and I knew right off the bat, like, fuck, this is so much potential. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And it's only right because, you know, we have the top deck of the parking structure over by Macy's here at the Westfield Shopping Center, which is basically our own open-air gallery. You know, it's like a spot where the homies come through and you know, lay down some pieces.
That's crazy.
And just paint, you know. And, like, I'm right up the way from that. You know, plus we have the inside of the mall, you know, so... Yeah, man, it's crazy how everything worked out, man, to be honest. Like, it's still, like, sometimes I don't really realize, I think, what's really happening. You know, like, it hasn't really hit me too much, you know, because it's like it all happened kind of, like, so fast, you know what I mean?
And before Westfield showed you this place, did you already have plans of expanding and going out somewhere else?
No, not at all. I wasn't going to... Shit, I still had another year left on my lease. I had to break my lease at the 111 spot.
Oh, I see.
Like, I... Nah, man. I was happy. You know, I was happy where I was. You know? There was nothing I was... I mean, I had thought about it. I basically just thinking about what I want to do next. Not necessarily putting it into action.
Right.
You know, it was just more like, okay, well, when I move... You know, I want to see a bigger wall space for gallery, or I want to see a backyard area where we could paint outdoors and I could host my graffiti battles again. Now, stuff like that, but yeah, I can't really say I was planning on moving out for sure.
Let me ask you, when is this going to be opening? You said in June, but around what time? Beginnings, ends of June?
The beginning of June is what I'm shooting for, man. Hopefully. You know, we're in the very, very early stages right now of construction here. I mean, we have a lot to do. We've literally took off all the tile. We're repainting the whole spot. A lot, dude. Construction, we're putting up walls. We're taking down walls. We're, you know, installing toilets and brand new bunch of stuff, man. You know,
getting your hands dirty.
Yeah, basically. I mean, we're kind of starting from the bottom, which is actually even better, man, because we're basically building it into what we want. It's not like a normal store where you go in and just that's it. It's the layout is the layout, you know what I mean? And like here, it's like, okay, here's the space, now you do whatever you need to do to make it the way you want to make it. And that's why I was like, fuck yeah, let's do it, because we could build off this, you know.
That makes all the work worth it, right? Because you're doing it the way you want it to set. You want it to be set up. So
it's what we want it to look like, yeah. For sure.
Definitely. Let's wrap it up with a few more questions. Just let's give the... Why don't you go ahead and give the listener some advice? To that person that
wants to start a business.
That wants to start a business and he's... He or she is close to doing it. It's just they've got their own roadblocks in their head, right?
Yeah. First of all, that's just all in your head. You know, when you put any kind of roadblocks or anything in your head that tells you not to do it, you're going against yourself, which is not ideal, man. Like, that's already a no, you know? So get that out of your head, first of all. I think your best bet is to just move forward and understand that there will be times where you will fail. And, I mean, just knowing that in itself is going to help you to realize, like, okay, I knew this was going to happen. Here it is. It's a roadblock, but I'm going to get through it. It's not a negative thing where you just know that you're going to fail from the beginning. Just go, push forward, keep going, When you run into something, deal with it, keep going until you get to where you want to get to, man. I mean, it's just as simple as that, you know? You know, and a lot of times it might not even be what you're trying to do. Like, you could be trying to open up a, or just start a clothing line, and that might not even be it. You might learn what you need to learn from that to get to the next step, you know? Yeah. But definitely just soak everything in, you know, as much knowledge as you can. Do your homework on everything that it is, research everything that you're trying to do, and just push, man, and just push. It's definitely very possible. Absolutely. Especially nowadays.
That's what's up.
Yeah, you definitely can't pull that ignorance card. Like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know. Like, you have the ability to go out there and research. Sure, like you said, do your homework. You're going to fall into a few, you know, building blocks, and you got to put them together to make something else out of whatever it is you have. Like, right here is cool, man. This is gutted, or will be gutted, and you're going to make it however you want.
Yeah, it took a lot of years to get here. And I'll be honest, man, like, I'm not even where I want to be to begin with. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is...
So your story is relatable to the advice you're giving. People Absolutely. Think this is a roadblock. This is definitely a roadblock you have right here, but it gives you the ability to overcome it. Like, if those that are listening right now don't believe, come down here if you guys want to get your freaking hands dirty. This whole thing is like no joke. This is awesome.
Yeah, thank you, man. Yeah, this is definitely the beginning of something way, way, way bigger than any of this, man. Like, you know, it's definitely the beginning. Yeah, I personally don't feel like I even made it close to where I want to get to. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not even halfway there. Everything that I've done from the time that I started doing this is a learning curve, you know. So I've learned everything that I needed to learn to move to the next step. And once I get there, then I learn more and I move on and move forward, you know. And that's what that's what's keeping me going is everything that I've learned, I've been able to prevail, and it gives me confidence, you know. And with that confidence, like, I could use that to my advantage.
That's facts.
You know what I'm saying? It's yeah. I mean, I'm talking about just having meetings with people that I would never think I would even have a chance to sit down with and actually, you know, kick knowledge to or just soak up their knowledge. You know, I sit in meetings with people and I'm just like, man, this is a trip. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, you guys talk like this? That's crazy.
Shit. You know, actually, yeah, man. Like, I'm very, the way that I am is just the way that I am. You know, I'm obviously not going to cuss and shit like that. Like, I'm not going to get, like, too crazy. But I just keep
it. You won't change for anybody.
Yeah, I'm just the way that I am, yeah. You know. But I have a lot to offer, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's what kind of is attracting to these people, I would imagine, you know. Like, I have a lot to offer, man. I'm valuable. And that's because I've soaked up mad game, you know what I'm saying? And, like, the more valuable you become, the I don't want to say the easier it becomes, but it's like the more you're able to get a grip of things.
Well, it's like learning a new language. If you are able to communicate with your knowledge.
Sure, absolutely.
You have a better connection with that person.
Yeah, definitely. I highly agree with that. Yeah, become valuable, man. Become valuable as fuck out here. Yeah.
So we just dropped some jams, man, for an hour plus. And I want to thank our listeners and, you know, just stick... I invite you to stick with us in our journey throughout this podcasting and, you know, listen through. We'll have an update so you can get an update on Flat Black's journey as well.
Yeah. And we'll definitely keep talking to Pete about this whole stuff, the whole process, just so that the listeners can also, you know, stay tuned and see Pete's development and his growth and his outreach to the community and how it changes people's lives.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Word up.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you, Pete.
Yeah.
Thank you, Flat Black.
Real quick, man, let me just say what's up to...
Plug.
Big ups to my family. Big ups to everybody that holds us down for... Like, this shit would not be happening if it wasn't for the people that come through these doors and show us love, man. Like, real shit. I mean that, you know, from the bottom of my fucking heart, man. Like, for real. So, big ups to everybody that shows us love and buys our shit and goes out there and gets artistic with it, man. Real shit.
Yeah, and stay tuned, man. Big things coming for Flat Black. And real quick, why don't you tell us, besides the graffiti paint camp, what other events you got popping?
Yeah, so at the Westfield Shopping Center right now, we have the, what am I looking at here? Oh, my bad. Oh, cheat notes. Yeah. So on the monthly basis, we do the family paint camp, which is basically a graffiti paint camp, and then we do the graffiti date night, which is mostly for like 21 and over, you know, adults that come in. There's drinks available. They same thing with the paint camps, but just for adults. You know, you come in, you paint. We show you some skills, get you going with a board, and then you just get your, you know, get your flex on some graffiti shit, man, and get your drink on. You know, it's like a great way to get out with your girl or your man or whatever. And then street every year, November. Don't forget that.
Just to let the listeners know where we can find you. I know here at the mall on those nights, mm-hmm. but social media.
Yeah, it's at @flat_black_shop is where you can find the shop page.
Basically. We're looking at just the Instagram? Or
yeah, man, that's it.
That's awesome. I like that Instagram.
Yeah, boy.
All right, you guys, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time. I'm your host, Luis.
And this is David coming to you from the Flat Black Studio. We are Selected Series. You guys have a nice day.
Peace.